We continue the last few verses of our study of the book of Ephesians, which we started at the beginning of this year, 2015. Please allow me to read to you the final four verses of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 21 to verse 24. The title of the sermon is Sharing Your Life. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus. Some of the KJV version would have these final words. Some might not have. But this tells us that the Apostle Paul probably dictated this entire epistle, and Tychicus was with the Apostle Paul in prison like a secretary. Theologians call these people amanuenses, where they will write what is dictated to them precisely, exactly, and perfectly. And so, Tychicus was the carrier of this epistle, and his name is mentioned in verse 21. The purpose, to make sure that when people talk about the Apostle Paul, when the people describe his life, his faithfulness, his ministry, it will be based upon truth and not based upon distortion. Remember, when Satan attacks us, when Satan tries to penetrate the armor of God that God has given to us, his purpose is not to take away our salvation, which he knows he cannot do. His purpose is to destroy our testimony for Christ. That means he will try his best to distort your character, distort your life. Now, the Apostle Paul was in prison. There were a lot of enemies who will try to destroy the Apostle Paul's life. He was not an apostle together with the original 12. You realize that through the entire New Testament, no one of these 12 apostles, excluding, of course, Judas Iscariot, where their apostleship came under attack, no one wrote one word to say that the apostle Peter, for example, was not a legitimate apostle. They had been with Christ from the very beginning, but not the apostle Paul. His beginning was very, very dark and very checkered. He was a very famous and well-known persecutor of Christians. And then suddenly, out of the blue, on his way to Damascus, the Lord saved him, and the Lord used Ananias to call him into full-time ministry. And the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who called the Apostle Paul to become the 13th apostle. Some call him the 12th apostle because they do not believe Matthias was the legitimate replacement of Judas. Be that as it may, the Apostle Paul's apostleship was not part of the original 12, and so it was much, much easier for Satan to attack. And that's why we find in 2 Corinthians, we find in other epistles like Galatians, where the Apostle Paul had to defend his apostleship, not for his own personal glory, because he knows that if they succeeded in attacking his apostleship, those who believed in the gospel that Paul preached would now begin to doubt. They will begin to reject. Not only the gospel that Paul preached would be rejected, but the many epistles that God inspired the Apostle Paul to write to build up and to strengthen the faith of the believers in all the churches that God used Paul to found will also be cast into the dustbin. The epistles like Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippi, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, all these will be dumped into the dustbin if they ever succeeded in undermining the apostleship of the Apostle Paul. And that is why the Apostle Paul was in prison. He could not defend himself. He could not allow these enemies to succeed in damaging his life and his testimony and his witness, because that's why we are here. Why do you think the Lord Jesus Christ warned us in the Sermon on the Mount that there are two kinds of persecution? One, they will attack your body. They will persecute you. Two, they're going to say all kinds of things falsely against you for Jesus' sake. Because both ways have the same agenda, to destroy your testimony for Christ. Because once your testimony for Christ is destroyed, those who believe the teaching, those who look up to the Apostle Paul, would now be stumbled. And once they are stumbled, their lives and their testimony for Christ will also be seriously and severely damaged. And the church could also die. That's why it is so important for us that when you want to share your life, which is exactly what God wants us to do, which was exactly what Paul encouraged the Christians to continue to do. That's why he said, in the previous couple of verses after he gave us an amazing description of the pieces of the armor of God, that he asked them to pray for him. That was last Lord's Day message. To pray for courage while he was in bonds, that he will not stop preaching the gospel, he will not stop defending the word of God, regardless of the external circumstances and the difficulties that he found himself in, languishing in the prison in Rome, and very soon after that, he will be called home to glory. He was not defending his name and his life for personal gain or glory. That's what you see in the world. In the world out there, where our reputation can make or break your job, your position, your livelihood, you defend when it comes under attack. When your colleagues say all kinds of nasty things about you, they say that you are a cheat, you're a liar, you're a thief in the company, you want to take him to task, because if it is believed, you could very well lose your job. And so therefore you defend it so that you can have a job, you can bring food and clothing for your family, you can keep your home, because without your job you have no money, and therefore all these things are what the world look for, and they also protect their image for all these material benefits. Now, we are not protecting our image per se. Paul was not protecting his image. He was protecting the image of Christ that his body, his name, his life, his character wants to tell people. Paul lived only for the Savior. So when they attack him, they are attacking Christ. When they are attacking him, they are attacking the church. Please understand this. And that's why the Apostle Paul tells them, but that ye also may know my affairs and what I do, that you may know precisely, truthfully, genuinely, completely the life of the Apostle Paul, because the more you know, the harder it will be for the enemies to deceive you. If you do not know person A very well, and so other people come and say all kinds of terrible things about person A, whom you are acquainted with, but you do not know very well. You may even call him your friend, but not a very close friend. And so when they start to say all kinds of things about him, and because you do not know him well enough, you just sit there and you just listen, you can't even say a word to defend. You can't say a word to defend that person, because you do not know him well enough. However, if you know this person well enough, if you serve with this person well enough, you will know that when some other person say all kinds of nasty things about this person that you know very well, you will rise to this person's defense. You will say to this person, I do not believe you because I know him. He will not say things like this. Someone once said to me about a particular elder, that this elder would teach a wrong doctrine, whereby this elder was supposed to have preached, so this person said, that it is okay to forget about right and wrong, just do not desire right and wrong. just forgive and move on. And this person cast such a remark on this elder. I've known this elder for a long time. I know that this elder will never teach something like this. If he ever says something like this, it will be within this particular context. The context will never be with regard to doctrine. If the person says, don't try to fight for right, who is right or who is wrong, it is with reference to personal misunderstanding or grievances. For example, if my wife asks me, when I come home from work, please buy one loaf of bread and 1 liter of milk, first thing in the morning. And then I come back, I didn't buy the loaf of bread, I did not buy that liter of milk. And then she says, I remember telling you this morning to buy the loaf of bread and to buy the liter of milk. Then I will say, no, I cannot remember. I don't think you said it. You never did. And so I say, you never did. She say, I did. You never did. I did. You never did. I did. All over what? A loaf of bread and a liter of milk. And so now we argue. I come home tired, exhausted. So we argue over what? Did you say? I say you didn't say. You say you say. So no loaf of bread, no milk. And so now we quarrel. She's upset with me, I'm upset with her. Now under this kind of right and wrong, who is right now? Am I right or is she right? How am I going to find out? Is there a time machine in your house where you can play back that morning of that day? Whereby, did you say or did you not say? Now under this kind of circumstance, I'm sure that elder would say, this is not the time to argue who is right, who is wrong. Just forgive and then just move on. Your relationship is more important than this kind of petty, who is right, who is wrong. And so I check up with the elder, and true enough, he did not say, don't care about right and wrong in terms of morality, in terms of ethics, in terms of the Bible. He will never say that. So when you know a person, you will defend that person. And that's why Paul says, I want you to know me genuinely, sincerely, and completely. And so he could not be there. And so he sent Tychicus. And he described Tychicus in this manner. A beloved brother, I trust him. Whatever he says to you about me, I know he will never betray me. I know he will never distort. He will never flatter. He will not say anything about the Apostle Paul that is not true. Because he is a beloved brother and a faithful minister. Now the word minister is where we get the word deacon. And so most likely, he could very well be one of the deacons in the church. And so he was there with the Apostle Paul in prison. And so in the concluding verses of this epistle, the Apostle Paul said, Tychicus, he knows me well and I trust him. So listen to him as he describes and share with you who I am, what I have done, and all the things that I have done for the Lord Jesus Christ from the day I was saved, from the day the Lord called me, unto the day when now I am languishing in prison, not for any crime that I have done, not for any sin that I have done. It is purely for the sake of the gospel. I am now languishing in prison. Whether I will be freed or not, I do not know. But trust Tychicus as he explains to you my life, my character, and who I am. A beloved brother, a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Personal testimony of the life of the Apostle Paul, so that the people will continue to receive and accept his epistles, so that when Tychicus explained to them, Paul was an apostle not appointed by himself, not appointed by the church, not appointed by man. He is a legitimate apostle appointed by the resurrected Christ. And he has the same authority and legitimacy as the other 12 apostles, including the Apostle Peter. Believe him. Don't believe the false teachers who continue to malign him, attack him, and undermine him. Because they are not attacking him per se. They are attacking Christ, and they are attacking your faith and the church. Because if you listen to this kind of falsehood against the Apostle Paul, your faith will be shaken and will be troubled, and the church will die. That is the agenda of Satan when he attacks the Apostle Paul. because the churches that the Apostle Paul founded by the grace and mercies of God, they listened to the teachings of the Apostle Paul. And it was much easier then because they did not have all these completed Bible. There were a lot of spurious writings floating around at the time as well. Please understand this. Satan had people who will write epistles and sign using Paul's name, Peter's name, John's name, floating around. Please understand, they are called pseudepigrapha, writings that are written using false names. Not names of nobodies, names of apostles, so that the churches could be deceived, the churches could be undermined. You study some of these epistles and you realize that they mock the Apostle Paul, they laugh at him. He is a man, when he is with us, he is short in stature. He doesn't know how to argue and talk. He talks very gently and softly. But when he leaves us, his epistles are so harsh and the words are so strong. Paul endured a lot of personal attacks. Purpose? They are not attacking Paul. Paul doesn't care. He knows that this attack means nothing. You can read that in 1 Corinthians. By the way, God willing, 2016, we are going to begin our study on 1 Corinthians. But the Apostle Paul made it very clear. I don't care to defend myself, but I care and I understand that if they succeed in attacking the message that Paul brought, the real victims would be you. The real attack is on the church, is on Christ, is not on him. He knows that. And you and I have to know that. Everywhere you go, your life, your body carries the image of Christ. Don't defend your name for personal material benefit. Defend your name because of Jesus Christ. And you have to be very honest with yourself. There will be a lot of people who will attack you, and they're going to put things into your mouth that you never say. They're going to attack your character. They're going to attack everything that you do. But the real agenda is not just to attack the person. It is to attack your faith. It is to attack the church. That is where the real target is. And the Apostle Paul knows this. And you have to know this too. When you give the gospel to your family, and then you have people attacking your character, they are not just simply attacking your character, they are attacking the gospel, the legitimacy of it, the sincerity of it that you have declared. You have to be honest. Please realize this. If you are in delusion, if you deceive yourself, then it is very, very tragic. Because you are not suffering for Christ. They are not attacking Jesus Christ. They are legitimately attacking you because you are in transgression, you have committed a sin. And you have to repent for the sin that you have committed. However, in the case of the Apostle Paul, he wanted the people to have a sincere, true understanding of his life so that the testimony of Jesus Christ in the life of the Apostle Paul will remain intact. Bear that in mind. When you share your life, protect it for Jesus' sake. Don't just protect it for personal gain or glory. For Jesus' sake. That's what he did. Verse 22. When it is done properly, it is for the purpose of mutual encouragement. First, a sincere, transparent life. That's how you must share your life. Second, it is for mutual encouragement. That's what your life is, especially among brothers and sisters in Christ. Remember the function of the church. Next Lord's Day, God willing, is our transfer of membership, our baptism and reaffirmation of faith. What is the meaning of membership? The membership of the church simply means that you want the church where you want to be a member of to take care of your spiritual life. That's what it means. You say to the leaders of the church, take care of my spiritual life. I want you to be accountable. I want my life to be accountable to you. And I trust you that if I do anything wrong, please point it out to me. I want you to help me grow and become a better Christian as I become a member of this church. That's what it means to be a member. That's what it means by your commitment to membership. Mutual encouragement. See, the church Please understand, it's supposed to be a place, of course, where the gospel is preached, because we know that the church is made up of both believers and unbelievers, and so therefore, the gospel will have to be continuously preached as often as we can. But we cannot just simply preach the gospel only all the time. Because if we do that, then those who are already believers, they want meat. They want meat doctrine so that they can mature, they cannot remain babes in Christ all their lives. And therefore, the church is the place where the rest of the doctrines of the Bible will have to be faithfully taught. The Apostle Paul calls it the whole counsel of God. And this is possible only in the church. The Bible college is not a church. The Bible college is called a para-church. Runs alongside the church to supplement certain aspects of the church's ministry. Primarily, the teaching of God's word. They are not there to replace the church. The church is what God has chosen to replace Israel. God made that very clear in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11. Three long chapters explaining the importance of the local church in the believer's life. Where you come together, you study God's word, and you mutually encourage one another as we all fight the good fight of faith. When I am injured, when I am down, when I am under attack, my mind and my emotion, they are all very frail and very fragile. And I need encouragement. And you never know how God will send an encouragement into your life. If you keep on staying away, how will you get encouraged? Mutual encouragement, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, two purposes, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Mutual encouragement. Paul needed to know how they are doing, and Paul says, I want to share with you my life so that you know how I am doing, so that you will be encouraged to see in the Apostle Paul how he is suffering for the faith, so that when it is your turn to suffer for the faith, you will remember that what you are going through is not unique to yourself. The Apostle Paul, he experienced it, and therefore now it is my time and my turn to experience it. Hold on to your faith. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, mutual encouragement. That's what it is. We all need encouragement. And sometimes God can send it in such a very, very wonderful and strange way. This week I received a letter from somebody that I don't even know. From America. This person listened to my messages. The person says, every day. I didn't even know that. And so when I opened the letter from America, I do not know this person. I mean, I heard of the person's name from another person, but I do not know this person personally. Not at all. The person said that I met her some time ago. She is a widow now. Husband just been called home to the Lord. And so she encouraged me in her Christmas card. In a time when I needed encouragement. I never knew that person, but God used her to send me the card just this week to encourage my heart because of the trials and the difficulties and the burdens that ministry will always bring. Like I shared with you before, whenever I leave Singapore for church camps or for other ministries, the pain disappears. The pain in front of my chest, the pain on my neck and my shoulder, the moment the plane lands, somehow the pain just come back. I don't know why. The moment the plane flies off, the plane flies off, the pain leaves behind. But the moment the plane lands, the pain comes. It's like a pain that only comes when I am standing on the sand of Singapore. I don't know why. But now the pain is there. Continuous. Never goes away. No matter what I do to it, no matter how I try to rub it, whatever ointment I put, I got this ointment from BDC some time back. I bought a few tubes of it. It's made of longan. You know longan? It's called longanoid. So I use it, hot type, cold type. Use up a couple of tubes already. But the pain won't go away. So at night, I rub before I sleep to rub away the pain. But it's always there. Why? Because of the burden of ministries. Sure, I pray and learn to be still and to have peace in my heart, to trust in the Lord at all times, regardless of the external circumstances, the attacks that come. They're always there, the attacks, the continuous problems and the challenges and the difficulties of ministry life. But mutual encouragement is always one of the best methods that God can use to bless our hearts. And sometimes God sent them from distant land to encourage your heart. And God knows the right time. When you read those words, you thank God that your ministry is not in vain. Your ministry is continuing to be used by God for the blessing of someone. And it is very, very encouraging because we all need this. All of us, no exception. The Apostle Paul did too. That's why he asked them, please pray for me. Please pray that I will be courageous. We always thought the Apostle Paul is always courageous. You mean the Apostle Paul is like me? The Apostle Paul is like all of us? He is a man with like passion like you and me? Sure, just like Elijah in the epistle to James. You think Elijah was a man who experienced no fear? James, by the inspiration of God, told us that he was a passionate, a man of like passions as we are, with all their ups and downs, their struggle, their challenges. They are afraid. We are also afraid. But they never allow fear to cause them to stumble and fall, even though at times they did allow fear to cause them to stumble and fall. But by and large, they rose to the occasion and they overcame their fear and they continued to serve the Lord. And that's why Paul was in prison. And while in prison, he asked them, please, so that I may speak boldly. You mean Paul was frightened? He was afraid? Yes, like all of us. You think we all have no fear? All of us have fear. I'm always very afraid before I come up to the pulpit. Always afraid. No change, whether I speak here or to a fellowship group, because you do not know what you're going to say and you want the Lord to help you. Always afraid, but don't let fear cause you to sin and not do what God wants you to do. And Satan will threaten you and make you doubt and make you frightened. The lawsuits that we have to go through. All the nasty, untrue remarks that people use, either in writing or in words, they spread. There's nothing you can do, just simply learn to be still and to trust in Him. Mutual encouragement. We all need this, and that's what sharing your life will bring. But if you keep staying away, you just come and you just disappear. You don't even stay behind for fellowship because of whatever reasons you might have, and you think that these reasons are justified. They are never justified. Because God has allowed you to be saved by His grace and mercy and to remain on earth. For what purpose? To encourage brothers and sisters in Christ. You are part of this church. You are part of this congregation. The problem with us is sometimes we are more comfortable and we are happier hanging around with our pet dog. Right? We are so happy. Take our dog out on a leash and then jalan-jalan, you know. And then in our hands, we carry the newspaper and then with a little plastic bag. So happy. Bring my dog for a walk. And ask you to come for fellowship, come for adult fellowship, come for senior adult fellowship, golden years fellowship. Ayya, cannot la. Dog? No problem. Human being? Oh, you cannot. Nah. Why? Why? It's a dog. You mean God saved you? You're already fit for heaven? Remain behind to walk your dog? I'm not saying you don't walk your dog. Right? Please, I'm not saying you don't walk your dog. I mean, dogs are nice. I mean, I don't have a dog. I don't want a dog in my house. I told my family, I told some of you, the only good dog is a hot dog. I mean, I can eat it. I mean, the dog is good. But of course, hot dog not so healthy, so my wife won't let me eat too many hot dogs. But a dog is good, but then the dog can be so burdensome. You know, go on holiday, go to church camp. Yeah, who will take care of the dog? You can't bring a dog to church camp. Hotel won't allow you. So you go for a dog hotel. The dog haircut is more expensive than my haircut. Only 10 bucks. The dog, at least, I don't know how many, more than 10 bucks, I'm sure. Maybe two haircuts of a dog can be more expensive than my entire year of haircut. I mean, I only want $10 a haircut. I cut once in 2 months, and so 12 months, so only 60 bucks. The dog haircut, I'm sure is more than 60 bucks after two or three haircuts. So it's so expensive to keep a dog, and the dog is not going to heaven. Sorry, it's not going to heaven. There is no heaven for dog. No heaven for dog, no heaven for cats, no heaven for a goldfish, no heaven for any creatures, only humans. And God saved you and left you behind here on earth to interact with humans. Whatever hang-ups you have, trust in the Lord to give you the strength to overcome them. Can we promise you that there will be no misunderstanding? No. Can we promise you that you will not get hurt? No. But what I can promise you is this, that whatever hurt that you may experience through your mutual encouragement, because the people you encourage may turn around and be the same people who will bite you and betray you and hurt you. But one thing we can promise you, that in Jesus Christ, you can forgive any hurt, you can forgive any pain, because when you mutually encourage one another, constrained by the love of Christ, guarantee nothing on this earth, no deep wound, no hurt from any direction can ever, ever discourage you and stop you from serving the Lord because of Jesus Christ. And this kind of experiences can never be purchased with money. And these are the kind of experiences and the depth of experience that you need to have when you trust in the Lord only through mutual encouragement. And when you get hurt, when you get misunderstood, and these are the kind of experiences that will help you mature and grow. The Bible call it, strengthen your patience and your long-suffering in Christ. James chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 7. And if you keep on running away, you will never experience any trials or difficulties other than those that you face in circumstances of life, but not with people and not through mutual encouragement. And that will be a sadness that you're going to regret when you see the Lord face to face. And I pray that you will no longer have any more of such regret. Let 2016 be a brand new year for you, where you truly want to be an encouragement to others by being present in many of the ministries in the church, by coming to church camp, by attending all those fellowships that have been designed for you. Why do you think we have all the fellowship groups from the teens all the way to the golden years? No age group is excluded, because we know that every age group will have their own particular needs and problems and struggles of life. And that's what these ministries are for. And if you keep on avoiding them, you are struggling alone, where you could have easily be encouraged by brothers and sisters in Christ who are going through the same struggles as you are going through. And they have the Word of God, they have Christian fellowship, and they are encouraged, and they have gone through the same struggle that you're going through successfully and to the praise of God because of the mutual encouragement that they have received. And when you have received them, now it is your turn to encourage others who are going through what you have just gone through. Now this is what sharing your life as a Christian is all about. Let your life be sincere, transparent, and true. Protect it for Jesus' sake. Mutual encouragement. Be around people. And lastly and finally, blessed desire. What was the desire of the Apostle Paul? This entire epistle is summarized in the last two verses, which we call the benediction. He wants peace to be upon the brethren. He wants love with faith from God to be given to the brethren. He wants God's grace to be with them and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants them to do all this in sincerity because He wants the best for them. Now you read this list. Any of these things are material? All these are spiritual. All these are eternal. All these belong only to believers. Do you know that? Peace be with the brethren. The peace that you have with God in Christ. Paul says, peace among yourselves. Don't let anything or any relationship ruin the peace that you have with one another. You see, in every church, there will be misunderstandings. And some of these misunderstandings are man-made. You know, one of the dangers of doing business with one another based upon Christian fellowship is this, misunderstanding. My house has a leak. And then you are a plumber. Come and help me with my house. You're a Christian, I'm Christian. And so, based upon love. Instead of asking, how much would it cost me? I didn't ask. You're my friend, house will leak, and so you fix. And then you fix already, then you ask, how much? You pay. But you're not happy, because now the leak comes back. You say, I got no time. Now you get upset. I pay you, and now you say no time. What happened? Because of money? Because you did not do things according to proper order. And you think that because of Christian love. If it's Christian love, don't charge anything. Because you don't charge anything, and if you fix it, and it still leaks, he cannot say anything. It's free. Right? Free. So if it leaks, I will come back and I will fix it. Alright? Promise, come back and fix it. Fine. The problem is, we confuse business with Christian love. You do things for people based upon Christian love, don't charge. You want to base upon business, let it be all business. Honesty, integrity, diligence, I give my best. Be very plain and clear. Same in the ministry. Expectation. Don't have high expectation. Have genuine, sincere expectation. Then you will not lose your cool. You won't lose your patience when you deal with people. Because you expect them to be like this and they are not like this, you get upset. Don't have any expectation that is not realistic. You cannot not have expectation. But sometimes, your expectation may not be realistic. Sometimes when I get upset, because I expect certain conduct and behavior from the deacons and from the elders, and when they do not behave the way they ought to, I get impatient and I lose my cool and say words that I regret. And then I learn. Have genuine, realistic expectation. And then once you do that, and then when the person stumbled and fallen and did not rise to your so-called unreal expectation, you won't get upset because now your expectations are very genuine and sincere and real. Then you patiently help them, teach them, educate them so that they can become better deacons, better elders. We all have all these challenges. The best, protect the peace among the brethren. Don't ever, ever sell the peace because of money, because of misunderstanding, because of pride, because of unforgiveness. Peace be to the brethren. Protect the peace that we have in the church. It's called unity. The peace that we all have in Christ Jesus. Protect this peace. Don't let any hurt or pain or money destroy your brotherly love for one another. Learn to forgive. It's only money. Misunderstand money. Never mind. Money is okay. Our peace, our brotherly love and care, priceless. Money is worthless. Please know that. Money is worthless. Okay? I went to buy lunch yesterday. I gave the person a couple of pieces of paper. The person gave me a nice packet of food. I said, which one is better? I give you paper, you give me food. Of course, the paper is money. Not any paper, not any paper. I said, you realize that money is just paper. It's worthless. So the food is just to keep this body alive. That's it. If you don't have food, this body is kept alive by God. God can use food to keep this body alive. That's it. Then after I eat the food, absorbed by my body, extra, pass out. More paper, more food. That's it. It's only paper. But the peace that we have, brotherly love, you realize that's priceless? You realize that in the home, in the church, priceless. That's why Paul says, my blessed desire for all of you, peace among the brethren, love with faith for one another, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Agape love. Unconditional, sacrificial love. Where I will do whatever it takes to help you be a better Christian, expecting nothing from you at all. Not even a thank you. If you don't want to say it, it's also okay. And if I, after helping you, you turn around and bite me and want to hurt me, it's still okay. I will still love you. I will still do what is right. I will still do what is blessed. What is a blessing for you? You know how wonderful that is when you can have that kind of heart and that kind of life? And that's what sharing your life is. That's what Paul's desire is. That's what he wants for them. Paul wanted them to have this kind of love so that they will learn to love one another with peace and with this kind of love. Unconditional, sacrificial. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that it is not your right. It is always by God's grace. Every blessing that you have, every blessing that you enjoy and experience, it is all of grace. Not because you are smarter, not because you are cleverer, not because you deserve it. It is all of God's grace. Your health, everything that you have, both material and spiritual, by God's grace. Peace, love, grace. That's the blessed desire that the Apostle Paul wants for them as he talks about sharing lives. And that's what we must want for each other, for one another. I want you to have peace in your home. I want you to have peace in your ministry, in your fellowship, in your life. And I hope that you want the same for me too. To help me. If I have any issue at home, pray for me. That my relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children, will always be in Christ. And we are at peace. We love one another. We care for one another. We help one another. Because it is the right thing to do. Because of the love of Christ that is in my heart. And all the blessing, the peace that you enjoy in your home and in your life, the trials, the difficulty, whatever it is only by God's grace. I know I deserve hell. I know I deserve death. But God has taken all these things away from me. And whatever I have on this earth to live for Him and to serve Him, it is all by God's grace. It doesn't come from me. It's not owned by me. It's nothing of me. It is all of God. And with this blessed desire in your heart, with a mutual encouragement as part of your desire, and living a life that is sincere, true, and genuine, and transparent, share your life. Share the life that God has saved with the precious blood of His only begotten Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And let your life impact the lives of others, so that when it is time for us to leave this world, or when the Lord returns, when people remember you, they will remember that you have been a great blessing to them, to help them become better believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O Lord, for life, for we acknowledge that this life was once a life in sin and darkness and death. But You have saved us. You have open our eyes, and deliver us out of this darkness and this bondage of sin, where sin was our master and the wages of sin was death. And how great a salvation that You have wrought within us. And to know that in our heart of hearts, that we are no longer enemies of God, but sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we have so much to live for on this earth, and all are eternal and spiritual. Help us therefore, O Lord, to make this life count for the Savior, that we may live not for self, but for the blessing of others through mutual encouragement when we share our lives with others, when we go out of our way to help others, when we teach, preach the Word of God for the blessing of others, when we encourage one another by our words and by our deeds. May we do so constrained by the love of our Savior. Help us, O Lord, to keep the peace among the brethren. Help us to always be constrained by love in faith in Christ. And may we never forget that all that we have on this earth and all that we enjoy are by Your grace and Your grace alone. Fill our hearts, O Lord, with a deep sense of gratitude and thanksgiving and this blessed hope of the soon return of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, where this world is only a place of ministry and service. And one day, our ministry and our service will be over, and we will all go home together. And we can't wait for that blessed day to come, where we will stand in Thy holy presence, hand in hand, because of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach me, therefore, to share my life for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.